We are looking at the book of Proverbs, and we are coming to the end of chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 28. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the back of fools. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Verse 28 of chapter 19. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Disreputable or ungodly or worthless are some of the synonyms in this verse. A disreputable witness, we have an example of that in Psalm 35. Messiah himself suffered from disreputable witnesses. In Psalm 35 and verse 11, Psalm 35 is a messianic psalm, and here we hear the voice of the Messiah speaking. Verse 11 of chapter Psalm 35. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. False witnesses. Shaul also in Philippians chapter 3, in writing to the believers at Philippi, he warned them against these disreputable witnesses. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have asked for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Messiah, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. It's verse 18 that we're thinking of. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Messiah. People who appear to be true believers, and yet they are enemies of Messiah. They are disreputable witnesses. In the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 21, we have an example of false witnesses, the harm that they can do. 1 Kings chapter 21, the historical context is that of an ungodly king in Israel by the name of Ahab, who had an ungodly wife called Jezebel. And it's the passage is too long for us to read through, but the sum of what this passage tells us in 1 Kings 21 is that Ahab coveted the vineyard of one of his subjects called Naboth. And Naboth would not sell his vineyard to King Ahab. And King Ahab had a fit of the sulks. He sulked and he wouldn't eat. And his wife Jezebel, verse 5, 1 Kings 21, verse 5, But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'You now exercise authority over Israel? Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letters saying, 'Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, "You have blasphemed God and the king." Then take him out and stone him that he may die." It was a devilish conspiracy to impose guilt on an innocent man. And that's what these ungodly witnesses did. Naboth was given a place of high honor, but was only raising him higher, that he might fall more badly as a result of the false witness born against him. That's what they did, and Naboth was stoned to death for blasphemy that he had not considered. Our proverb says, "A disreputable witness scorns justice." In the Ten Commandments, we have the ninth commandment, not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Disreputable witnesses could be spiritual forces as well. Many were the times when Messiah was healing people and delivering them from evil spirits, but we read that he did not want the publicity of the evil spirits. He rebuked the spirits and he would not allow them to speak of him because they knew that he was the Son of God. Shaul in the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16 had some unwelcome publicity from a demon-possessed damsel. Acts 16, verse 16 onwards. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Shaul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Shaul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." By human reckoning, that was some very welcome, unsolicited testimonials. Free advertisements, but Shaul would not accept commendation from evil spirits, and he drove the spirit out of the young woman. David also suffered from a false witness. Shall we turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 21? 1 Samuel chapter 21. In our context, 1 Samuel 21, David is fleeing from Saul, king of Israel. Saul wanted to have him killed, and David was fleeing. And in his flight, he came to a priest 1 Samuel 21, beginning at verse 1. Now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid when he met David, and said to him, "Why are you alone, and no one is with you?" So David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has ordered me on some business, and said to me, 'Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you, or what I have commanded you.' And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." Then David answered the priest and said to him, "Truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day." So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, "Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." So the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it. If there is no other, for there is no other except that one here." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it me." David, in order to save his life, lied to the priest and fled with the bread and with the sword that the priest gave him. But there was a fly in the ointment. There was a herdman there called Doeg, an Edomite, who overheard the whole conversation. And we pick up the sequel to that in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." This is a case of lying while speaking the truth. He inferred by what he said that Ahimelech the priest was in league with David, and it led to Saul massacring the priest and all his family and destroying the village in which they lived. An ungodly witness can sometimes be telling the truth, but he puts a nuance on what he says so that the truth becomes a lie. Doeg obviously was one of those who scorned justice. Proverbs 19:28, "A disreputable witness scorns justice." He scoffs at it. he derides it. The second half of our proverb, Proverbs 19, verse 28, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. The wicked are not afraid of using their tongues, their mouths, unjustly. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we read about what the ungodly are like. Beginning at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The throat, the tongue, the lips, the mouth, these are all used in the service of sin. And that's what our Proverbs tell us. The mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. All those descriptions in Romans 3, chapter 13, tell us that the organs of speech can be used in the service of sin. Chapter 19, verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Sentence, God passes sentence on scoffers. Stripes, beatings are for the backs of fools. That goes together with verse 28. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Let's go on to chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Wine here is really the right word for fermented grape juice. And God's word tells us that wine is a mocker. It makes a mockery of its victims, and intoxicating liquor, strong drink, is a brawler. Wine is a mocker in the sense that it makes mockers of drunkards. Intoxicating liquor is something that was allowed under the law of Moses, but the danger was of being misled and drinking too much. Noah was a good man. We read about him in Genesis chapter 9. Even though he was a perfect man and walked with God, he fell into the trap of drinking too much. In Genesis chapter 9, here we have the account of Noah after the flood. Genesis 9, beginning at verse 18. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now we can excuse Noah. He probably fell into the trap that others have fallen into of drinking too much new wine. New wine is deceptive and it can mislead people into drinking too much before it bites. And that's what happened to Noah. He was beguiled. Our proverb tells us that whoever is led astray by wine and strong drink is not wise. There are other examples of that. There's one in Genesis chapter 19, where another good man was misled. This time it was Lot, the nephew of Abraham. In Genesis 19, we read the account of Noah fleeing from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and picking up the account in Genesis 19, verse 30. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come in to us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And the younger repeated the sin of the older sister. Noah and Lot, both taken in by wine and by strong drink. Scripture warns us in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Care is needed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 tells us, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We have to be careful even when we think we are safe. One of the ways in which we can exercise care is by praying a blessing on the drink before we drink it. It's our custom as Messianics to say the Beracha over the grape juice or over the wine. And the blessings are a kind of antidote against abuse. Verse 2, Proverbs 20, verse 2. "The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life." The fear here is the same word as terror. When Moses wrote in this 90th Psalm, Psalm 90, he mentioned the wrath of God the King. Psalm 90, verse 11. "Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The king is the supreme authority, and whether it is earthly authority or spiritual authority, it's our wisdom not to provoke him to anger. Shaul, writing to the believers in Corinth said, "Do we provoke the Lord to anger? Are we stronger than he? He who sins against him wrongs himself." 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, "May God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life." King Solomon was the rightful successor to David, but Adonijah, his half-brother, sought to gain the crown by subterfuge. And when King Solomon uncovered the plot, his anger was like the roaring of a lion. And a lion roars when he is pouncing on his prey, when he's about to seize his victim. That's when the lion roars. And the proverb tells us here, "The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life." Adonijah was executed for treason. Verse 3 of Proverbs 20. "It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." It's an honorable thing to give up arguing, going around in circles, or making the situation worse, rubbing salt into the wound. We have two examples of that. One is found in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. This is an account of Abraham and his nephew Lot, who had been in Egypt but had left and came back to the land of Canaan. Genesis 13, verse 6. "Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Avram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.' Abram was a gentleman, and instead of allowing the quarrel of their servants to affect their attitude to each other, he decided to take a back seat. 'Separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left.' And so they did. They parted from each other in peace, and quarreling and disgrace were avoided." It's not by accident that the scripture mentions the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. Earlier on in Abraham's experience, it was just the Canaanite who dwelt in the land. But now, time had gone by and there were more ungodly people in the land. And so it was for the honor of God that Abraham averted a quarrel. The land was promised to Abraham by God, but Abraham did not stand on his rights. He let Lot have the first choice. An example of deferring or setting aside our personal rights is found in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. "When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Yeshua anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Yeshua said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Peter was intimidated by the tributaries, and he said yes when he should have said no. The Lord Yeshua was exempt, but he gave in to the fear of man, and he compromised his master. The Lord Yeshua, rather than create bad feelings, paid the tax. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. We're not to have the last word, willing to be misunderstood or for people to take advantage of us. Sometimes we have to give up our rights for the sake of peace, but never in the cause of truth. There's a saying that comes to my mind: in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, diversity; in all things, charity. We do not compromise for the truth, but if it is an indifferent matter, whereas, for example, a case of diet, vegetarian or meat eater, we can waive our rights and avoid breaking the peace. We'll have to stop there. Our time is gone. Let's summarize again what we covered this morning. Proverbs 19, verse 28. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the backs of fools. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be found in remembrance of these precepts of godliness, that when we are confronted with an occasion to bring this counsel into use, grant that we will not be wanting, but that we will comply with your gracious counsel in this book. We thank you for your word, in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.